Turn to Mark 4. Mark chapter 4. If you're wearing steel toes today, get them off because I need to do some stomping. I want to talk about the parable of the four soils. Jesus warns us the three out of four people who are touched by God's word won't enter the kingdom. Three-fourths of this congregation, statistically, according to the scripture, will not make it to heaven. It's a startling statistic, and we're going to look at why. Again, he began to teach by the sea, and a great multitude gathered to him, so that he got into a boat and sat in it on the sea, and the whole multitude was on land facing the sea. Then he taught them many things by parables, and said to them in his teaching, "Listen, behold, a sower went out to sow. And it happened as he sowed that some of the seed fell by the wayside, and the birds of the air came and devoured it. Some fell on stony ground where it did not have much earth, and immediately it sprang up, because it had no depths of earth. But when the sun was up, it scorched it, because it had no root and withered away. And some seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no crop. But other seed fell on good ground, and yielded a crop that sprang up and increased, and produced some 30, 60, and 100-fold. He who has ears, let him hear. But when he was alone, those around him, the 12, asked about the parable, and he said, "To you it has been given to know the mystery of the kingdom, but to those on the outside, all things come in parables. That seeing they may not perceive, and hearing they may not understand, lest they should turn and their sins be forgiven. Do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all the parables? The sower sows the word, and these are the ones by the wayside where the word is sown. And when they hear, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown into their hearts. And likewise, the one sown on stony ground hear the word and immediately receive it with gladness. And they have no root in themselves, so they endure for a time. And afterward, when tribulation or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they stumble. Now the ones sown among thorns, they are the ones who hear the word. And the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desire for other things entering in choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. The ones sown on good ground are the ones who hear the word, accept it, and bear fruit, some 30, 60, and 100-fold. Father, speak to us today. Challenge us, God. Challenge us today, Lord. Not to feel condemned, not to get defensive, Lord, but to take an honest look at our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Jesus lays out the purpose of this parable. And he says that first the mysteries of the kingdom were given to the disciples, but he speaks in parables to everybody else to fulfill the judgment of Isaiah 6, which is these people are rebellious, therefore I'm going to speak to them, but dull their hearing and dull their hearts and dull their understanding. I'm going to extend mercy to them, my word to them, but because of the hardness of their hearts, those truths are going to be withheld from them. And what he's doing, he's laying the foundation and the understanding for what really takes place in the heart of people and why and how people respond, that when people respond, only three-fourths of those who hear either don't get saved or they fall away from the faith. Because the sower sows the word of God. And the field is the heart of the listener. I know this really well as a pastor. Week after week, sharing the word of God, knowing that the devil's going to take it away from some. Some will receive it, but it's going to be too costly for them and they're going to fall away. Some will hear it, but the challenges of life, raising a family, finances, begin to kill and choke out the word. But there will be those that will hear it, respond to it, will let God come in and plow their hearts, will let God come in and weed out the junk in their life, and they become fruitful. The first person he talks about is those on the wayside, those that do not respond to God's word. We know these people. We've been around these people. You ever tried to talk to somebody, but it didn't go anywhere? It's like you're talking to a wall. Like they just don't get it. There's no response. These are the ones to whom the word is preached, but they are never moved. They're never touched. God's word doesn't penetrate their heart. It's unplowed ground outside of a main, like from on the sides of a main field. It's not that they couldn't, it's they can't. I want you to understand that about unbelievers. Paul tells us, he says, unbelievers are blinded by the god of this world and they cannot perceive the truth. It's not that these people would be unwilling to hear or respond. It's that they are unable to hear and respond. There's a difference. Unbelievers are unbelievers. I don't get shocked when sinners act like sinners, when unbelievers act like the devil. Because what does Jesus say? You do the will of your father, the devil. He's talking to the people of his day. Does our father's Abraham know your father's the devil and you act just like him? Satan comes to these people. The word is sown. We talk to them, we share the gospel, and the devil comes and takes it away immediately. And there's nothing, there's no response. Again, it's not that they may not want to. They're unable to, because his word cannot penetrate into their hearts. But Jesus also tells us that even when people do not respond to the gospel, it will be used as a testimony against them on Judgment Day. He tells his hearers at one point, you know, Sodom and Gomorrah is going to get up and condemn this generation because no prophet was sent to them. They didn't have the Bible. They were condemned for their sin, but they didn't have the truth like you had it. As the old revival preacher Leonard Ravenhill preached a sermon, Sodom had no Bible. And he talked about the condemnation of this generation. Because we have truth. We have lots of truth. We have Christian radio, television, magazines. Yet many of us, our lives are unaffected by it. I think we're just oversaturated. Do you know I don't like Christian radio? Do you know that? I don't listen to it. I listen to a lot of other things. I'm careful about the things I listen to, but I don't have time for Christian radio. Because it's like I'm hearing the same thing over and over. It's all the same to me, and it just gets to be too much. It's like oversaturation. I can't deal with it. Sometimes I just shut off the radio and be silent. You know, you can hear God that way. You know, that's how I ended up here at this church. I shut off my radio one day and said, God, speak to me. I don't listen real well, but speak to me today. Call that church in Lonsdale. These people are without excuse. The word is sown. God has extended his mercy to them. But they can't respond. Their heart is hard. It's unplowed. It's not like in the main part of the field that's been prepared. And the devil just comes and steals it away. The next ones are the stony ground hearers. These are those that are quick to respond, but quick to quit. These are typically people that have received the false gospel. You know, when I got saved, I was probably 5 years old. I don't remember it real well. My mom does. She's the one that led me to the Lord. But I'm like, Mom, I'm going to hell. I'm like, what? I'm so full of sin. Like, the Holy Spirit came and convicted. I have a praying grandmother. That woman knew God, and I know she was praying for me. Like, I'm going to hell. I'm like, just this little kid, I'm going to hell. I'm so full of sins. Like, what? What are you talking? You're so full of sin. What are you talking about? God knew what he's talking about. The Holy Spirit knew that I was full of untapped evil. But these are the ones that have received the false gospel of joy and peace. They've never probably been convicted of sin. They've come to Jesus to make their life better. They've come to Jesus because somebody smiled at them on television and told them that it was going to all be all right. And well, yes, it's going to be all right. We can sometimes have a lopsided gospel, positive and encouraging, without convicting and repenting. I love to be encouraged, and I love people being positive, but we need the whole counsel of God's word. We need the whole gospel. These people are probably in it because Jesus met some need inside of them, or they saw some benefit to following Jesus, some personal gain to following Jesus. It made them happy. It did something inside of them, but there was no root. They spring up right away. It says they receive it with joy. But when the gospel begins to cost them something, they give up. I'm not going to this church anymore. I don't like the way that pastor preaches. He preached about sin. How dare he? Right? You know those kind of people. I always know that when somebody comes into this church and they're excited to be here, they're probably going to leave just as quickly as they came. And it usually turns out to be true. Very, very rarely is it not that way. Man, I'm so excited to be here. This is like the coolest church ever. I'm like, just give it time. Just give it time and we'll see if you come back. Because eventually, God is going to deal with stuff. I had a young man. He was a homosexual young man in our youth group way back in the day. He goes, are you going to judge me because I'm gay? I said, no, but I do teach the Bible. We're eventually going to talk about it. I'm not going out of my way to attack you, but we're going to teach the Bible, and eventually your sin is going to come up, and God's going to want to deal with it. And when it did, he left. Never came back. And took half of my kids with him. And I remember that conversation with Pastor Ron. He's like, what happened? Was there a way you could have done this different? I said, no. I tried to be as loving and as kind. We talked about the word. We prayed with him, and he got so angry because God wanted to deal with his sin. And it cost me half of my kids. And he goes, I'm proud of you. You stuck to the word of God, and you were true to the Lord, even though it cost you. It cost you a lot. See, these people get involved in church, right, until they're told to repent or they're asked to serve or they realize that God wants more than Sunday morning. Excited about Christianity until they have to take a stand on some real issue. See, God has a way of kind of pushing us and making us take stands on things that maybe we're uncomfortable with. Right, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, right? They refused to bow. They weren't going out of the way to make a big scene about it, but they knew that they needed to stick with obedience to God and stick with His truth at personal cost. And they paid the price. God rescued them, but they didn't know that when they got tied up and tossed into that furnace. See, for some of us, being associated with Jesus begins to be too costly. You can't live on the fringes of Christianity. Right? As I've asked people before, if you were arrested for being a Christian, is there enough evidence to convict you? Not based on your testimony, but based on your life. They looked at your life, and they looked at the evidence of your life. Could you be convicted of being a Christian? It's meant, you know. Remember, I know what it was like to be a young guy, you know, being a teenager, being stupid and all that. And you, oh, hey, man, I'm a Christian. Yeah, you're a Christian. My foot, you're a Christian. No, for real. There ain't no way you're a Christian. Not you. See, to have heard the gospel, responded to it, but to turn back, we're told, is worse than to have never heard or to have never responded. These people are fair weather Christians. But there's no depth to them. So be careful about the way you look at people's lies, because you don't know what's going on underground. You don't know what God is doing deep in the heart of somebody. We see the outward appearance. God looks at the heart, right? And sometimes we think that someone is either non-responsive or they're just, you know, one of these fair-weather Christians, when God is really doing something deep inside of them. The next one are full of weeds. This is the most common person. These are people that have heard and responded to the word. This is people that the word has been sown on good ground. This is you and this is me. If we are not careful, this will be us. We've heard the gospel. We responded. We serve in church. We obey God. We're living for Jesus, but life gets busy. Life is complicated. Things happen. Difficulties happen. Challenges raising a family, challenges with having a job, challenges in marriage, challenges with money. Trying to live this thing out, trying to get through the day. Anybody just trying to get through the day sometimes? Listen, I know the challenges of raising a young family and being a pastor. The challenges of sometimes having more month at the end of the money. Anybody know what that's like? Having a young daughter who's got special needs, she's doing therapy, trying to be a husband with my wife's alternating schedule, working overnights, right? Life is challenging. Life is difficult. And he warns us that the cares of life will begin to choke out God's word. That if I'm not careful, if you are not careful, the word that was sown on the good ground in us, life's difficulties and life's realities begin to choke it out. Stop coming Wednesday nights, right? Haven't picked up your Bible in a week. Can't remember the last time I prayed. You know, well, they really need me to work on Sundays. I mean, I got to have a job. You know, I used to work Sundays too. I still work Sundays. I work every Sunday and I still come to church. When I worked in retail, I used to tell them, listen, I want to be able to go to church in the morning. Schedule me in the afternoon. See, whatever's a priority to us, we'll make time for. We'll make arrangements for. I can tell your priorities. Well, Pastor, you know, boy, I'd come to church more, but, you know, I don't have to go to church to be a Christian. What Bible verse was that? Huh? Because Jesus tells us that the love of this world and the cares of life and the deceitfulness of riches and the desire for other things choke out the word. Right? We begin to make excuses for a little bit of profanity. Our thoughts aren't maybe as holy as they could be. Right? In life is challenging. But it's slow. Backsliding is really a slow process. Just a little here, a little there. You know, and weeds are springing up in your life and we're not dealing with stuff. We're letting things begin to grow in our lives that shouldn't be there. Again, I know the feeling. I know the challenges of life and family, of work, of money, of children. There's days I want to sell them to you know, traveling gypsies in the circus. It's easy to begin to let things choke out God's word and it become unfruitful in our life. When is the last time you read the Bible? I read it every morning. I come in here and I do some prayer time. I have the benefit of that, for sure. I get paid to pray. All right, that's a nice perk benefit of my job. You know, I try to do my church studies later in the morning, in the afternoon, preparing, praying for that. And then at night, I'll put my headphones on, turn on my Bible app, and just lay back and listen. Is God's word is being read, right? Put on the audio thing and just listen to it and just meditate on his word as I'm falling asleep. And I wake up sometime in the middle of the night because my ear hurts because I rolled over on that side. Pull my headphones out, throw them on the floor. But I try to make time. And I want to make it a priority. Again, whatever's important to you, you'll make time for. Whatever is a priority to you, you will go out of your way to make happen. I ain't been to church in a while, but man, my boat's gotten a lot of use. Right? There's nothing wrong with fishing and nothing wrong with camping and all that stuff, but again, what's your priority? What is your priority? These are the ones that they're good Christian people, going to church, but God's word is being choked out just because of life. What's growing in your heart? What is beginning to choke God's word in your life? Is God still your first priority? Or is this second, kind of an afterthought of your day? Lastly, are the faithful hearers. These people hear and respond to God's word. It may not be quick. You might look at them and not even know something's going on. We're going to see that in about 2 weeks, where Jesus gives a parable. He goes, the kingdom of God is like seed that was sown in a field. And just one day it kind of springs up. You don't see the process. Right, one day I saw the farmer out planting in the field that he rents from us. And by golly, one day I looked out there and there's little bits of green everywhere. I didn't see it going on. I didn't see the process. I didn't watch the seed begin to split open and roots come out and they begin to grow. Right, you don't see all those things. The faithful hearers, those on good ground, man, it might be week after week, month after month, where God is doing a deep internal work and you don't see it. But just give it time. Because again, God is in for the long haul. He's in for the long term with you. That's why this is good, because as we begin to deal with the condition of our heart today and tomorrow, and every day, God's in this for the long term. Even if, you know what, Pastor, there's things in my life that are killing God's word, that are killing my walk with the Lord. Well, today's the day to deal with it. And then tomorrow. And then the next day. And you keep your eye out for things that are springing up in your life. These people grow. And they might not be bearing much fruit right now, but give it time. And eventually they become very fruitful and productive in God's kingdom. You might not be where you want to be right now in your Christian walk or in your life, but just give it time. But thank God you're not where you were, right? I know where I was. I remember getting saved as a kid, but you know, going through my teenage rebellion and all those things. And I remember when God got a hold of me, and God gripped a hold of my heart. So where are you at today, friends? Are you a fair-weather Christian? Is God's word even able to make an impact on your life? Or do you come here every week and the devil's waiting outside the door? Just like an usher, right? Well, how nice of you to come and visit us today. I'll be taking that now. Thank you. Have a nice day. Are you backsliding? Are there things beginning to choke out God's word in your life? the cares of this world, the challenges of family, challenges of work, marriage, whatever it might be, is it beginning to choke out God's word? See, I've never understood why people don't come to church, especially when things get hard. Pastor, you don't understand. No, you don't understand. Because if you saw Jesus and met him the way I've met him, you'd be here. If you knew what I knew, and if you believed the things that I believed, if you believed in an eternity, that you're going to reap what you sow, you'd be here each week. Are the challenges of family, ministry, money, whatever, choking out the word of God in your life? Or my friends, are you fruitful? That's what we want. And here's the thing, we can bounce back and forth between the fruitful here and then the weedy here. Because next thing you know, there's stuff that shouldn't be here. So we begin to deal with it right before it begins to grow up. It becomes something bad. Here's what we want to do today. We're going to ask God first to plow up our hearts. Hosea 10:12, sow righteousness and reap in mercy. Break up the fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord till he comes to rain righteousness on you. We're going to ask God to begin to plow up our hearts. God, where there's unplowed ground, where there's hardness in my heart, God, put your plow in there and break it up. Just deal with it, God. Come in and be, and it's not, you don't have to be afraid. God, it's his good pleasure to give you the kingdom. But he needs to come in and begin to deal with things. And we're asking to come and begin to pull weeds out. God, what are the weeds in my life? What are the weeds in my heart, God, that are choking out the word? Begin to pull those things out. I don't know if they do it here. I don't think I've ever seen anybody do this here. I grew up northwestern Iowa. We used to do bean walking. Right? Farmer had hired 15 teenagers. Send them out in the field to pluck weeds out of the bean fields. We're going to let God do some bean walking today. We're going to let him come through, and we're going to just begin to pull things up. I want to deal with this. You know, I want to deal with that thing. Right? He's going to walk in the midst of our hearts today. He's going to deal with things. Maybe, Joe, you come and begin to play. We're going to just take a few moments, and we're going to pray. And then we're going to receive communion together after we've let God do a work in our hearts. Because Paul warns us not to take it in an unworthy manner. I know we've gone a little bit long today, but we do have to make time for what God wants to do. Search our hearts, Holy Spirit. Where there's hardness, where there's unplowed ground, where there's just ground that's just gotten hard over time. We'll begin to break that up, plow it up. So your word can come in and become fruitful. And Lord, come and begin to pull weeds from our hearts. We're going to first deal with us today. Is God dealing with anybody? You don't have to look up. Just, Pastor, God's dealing with me on something. Either I'm the fair weather Christian or God's just got to pull some things out of my heart. Is God dealing with you today? As you begin to pray for yourself and then begin to pray for friends and loved ones that you know, that God would begin to deal with the weeds that are choking his word, or he'd deal with the lack of root in their life. They got sown into shallow ground. God could maybe transplant them. And for some, that God's got to come and begin to plow up their hearts so his word could get in there. Plow our hearts today, God. Remove the things in our lives that are offensive to you, even good things, God, that might just be choking out your word, making it unfruitful, Lord. We don't want it. And Lord, for our friends and loved ones, Jesus, plow up their hearts for those that can't hear and receive. Begin to plow up their hearts, God, so your word can get in there, Jesus. We want to fight for them today. Lord, for those that we know and love, God, that the fair weather Christians that we know, Lord, if something happened, they'd fall away. When your word becomes costly to them, God, Lord, put them in good soil. For those that we know, God, that you know they used to be on fire, God. They used to be excited about church. They used to be so faithful, God, but man, we haven't seen them in forever. They're not coming to Bible study anymore, and they come sporadically to church, and they're busy, and they got stuff going on, Lord. They're making excuses, Lord Jesus. Begin to pluck those weeds up, Lord. We're going to ask if our ushers would come. We're going to receive communion together. Just ask you to hang on to them and we'll partake together. Let the Holy Spirit search your heart today. Let Him do a work in your heart. If you've trusted in Jesus for the forgiveness of sins, we invite you to partake today with us. It's the word that kept coming to me this morning. It's the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Jesus freely gave Himself to people. He freely offers Himself to you today. He didn't make people go through some little ceremony or some class so they could come to Him. He just called them to come. And He calls you today to come. Come to Him today. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night in which He was betrayed, He took the bread, and when He had given thanks, He broke it and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Let's take together. Friends, every sin was put upon Him. And His righteousness is yours by faith. And it also says that by those stripes laid upon His back, we're healed. If you need healing, just confess our sins to Him today and receive His mercy and receive His healing. In the same manner, He took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is a new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Let's take together. Thank you, Lord, that your precious blood washed away our sins, that we are holy and righteous and pure in your eyes today by faith. Holy Spirit, have your work in our hearts. Plow up our hearts. Remove the weeds from our lives and make us fruitful for your kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. We'd love to pray with you if you need prayer. If you need to talk, I'll be right here. Otherwise, you have a great week. I love you. You're dismissed.